anyway, just summing up, I mean, okay, Steve's put the knife in. We presented a particular case. Someone once said, I believe, that the Socialist Party of Great Britain was not so much a movement as a monument. A monument to what? Either to possessing the only true vision of socialism, or a monument to a sectarian purity that prevents you from getting your hands dirty in the everyday struggles of ordinary folks. And the priority is what I've called, for the Socialist Party of Great Britain, I'm summing up, the priority seems to be what has been called, as we see it, rightly or wrongly, abstract propagandism. That is, the priority is putting over socialist ideas as a means of getting rid of capitalist, of bourgeois ideology. As a result, engagement in any struggles, engagement in any partial struggles, is regarded by the Socialist Party of Great Britain, it seems to me, as a waste of time until you've spread the word. Indeed, I think from what Steve said and other Socialist Party of Great Britain supporters or members or whatever from the floor have said, you seem to think that it's dangerous to engage in everyday struggles of ordinary people. Because you seem to believe that it somehow helps to reinforce workers' acceptance of capitalism and the whole division which reformists, which people, for example, in the Labour Party accept, the whole division between economics and politics. But we in the Socialist Workers' Party, I think, would argue for some kind of notion of transitional politics, of relating, as I mentioned earlier, of people like Rosa Luxemburg tried to relate, relating reform to revolution. For you, however, reform, it seems to me, reform seems to mean compromise as a kind of sop to the working class, thereby somehow delaying the socialist revolution a la the Socialist Party of Great Britain as they see it, their particular vision. Whereas we, I think, would argue, we would see the struggle for reforms in terms of their subjective effects on ordinary people's class consciousness. As a result, it seems to me that you don't really have any conception of building a movement through agitation over immediate demands that might eventually make the maximum program of the classless, wageless, stateless society one day in the future a reality. Your activity, it seems to me, is confined to propaganda. That is, to enlightening the working class about the need for a socialist society. As a result, you don't seem to see any way of connecting the future with the present except through talking endlessly about the future. Struggle, ordinary everyday struggles as a kind of class educator, seems to me, from what you've said tonight, to be almost totally ignored. In other words, my argument, our argument is, somehow, since you alone in the Socialist Party of Great Britain represent the true interests of the working class as you see it, all other parties, all other groups, must somehow represent interests, including the Socialist Workers' Party, must somehow represent interests hostile and diametrically opposed to the working class. And this, of course, prevents you from doing any of the kind of united front work which our comrade over there brought up as something I've mentioned because I thought it was a brilliant success. Someone over here said it just led to a lot of people voting Tory and not for the National Front. I think the Anti-Nazi League did have a very, very important impact that has not yet been entirely documented. In other words, your perspective always prevents you from doing any United Front work. Of course, finally, there are times, there are situations where all you can do is make propaganda. Of course there are. As, for example, in the post-war boom years. But even then, I think, we would argue you have to try and look for every opportunity to involve ourselves in whatever struggles, whatever fightbacks against the system, against the capitalist system, are taking place. Can you really make a revolution by reading books and sitting around slagging off other revolutionaries? Our line, finally, is that socialists have to be ready to get their hands dirty and often to get their hands bloody filthy, to involve themselves in ordinary people's struggles, and if these battles are around limited demands which do not challenge the whole capitalist system, it's still a damn good thing that ordinary people, given the whole existence of capitalist society, the role of the media, the role of ideology, it's still a damn good thing that at least people get off their asses and are drawn into activity, are often drawn into action. And we argue that the masses' ideas, whether reformist or, as people have pointed out, even reactionary, and we've pointed it out, a hell of a lot of workers do beat their wives every Friday night, are racists, have voted consistently over the past 100 and 150 years for the Conservative Party. We argue that the masses' ideas, whether reformist or even reactionary, can only be changed in activity, can only be changed during the whole process of struggle and fight back against the system. So summing it all up then, we are arguing that the best training for socialists is involvement in the everyday battle that most of us have, the everyday battle between labour and capital. And finally, the fact is, the assault on the workers, as the miners' strike so clearly shows, is a thoroughly political one. It is about getting your hands dirty and relating to ordinary folk, ordinary working people. Because, and I think Steve might agree with this, the tiny group of rich and powerful men, and maybe a handful of women, who control industry and property, are determined to defend their class superiority from any pressures, any incessant demands from the working class movement. The fact is, the ruling class have organised politically, through their representatives in the Tory party, to pick off each group of workers, isolate them, humiliate them, and break their spirit. Their struggle is not isolated in individual industries or factories. The fact is, and it comes back to a point which someone made in the audience, these people operate as a tightly knit group of politically motivated people, politically motivated men. Obviously, then, the response of workers, if it is ever to succeed, must also be political. And we've argued, and you've argued, this doesn't mean voting every 5 years for a Labour candidate. It means linking different struggles and pointing out the common enemy in each of those separate, localised, frequently localised struggles. It means binding the fight in Britain. Steve's brought this point up in the case of South Africa, South African miners. It means binding the fight in Britain with similar fights abroad. Only then, perhaps, will you begin to break through the crust, the often thin crust of modern capitalism, and create a society where the wealth which workers produce is used for them and not against them. And finally, anyone here tonight who wants to join us on the road to revolutionary socialism knows where to find us at the back of the room.
From my German colleagues and friends, I don't think that, in any sense, we should sort of look down upon debate. You know, I know it's very easy to fall into easy metaphors about people sitting on their asses and so on. But you know, workers don't get a lot of chance to sit on their asses. Let's enjoy it when we can and use our brains while we are sitting on our asses. And you know, debate is important. Because the political agenda in Britain and across the world, the political agenda is dominated by what goes on from Sir Robin Day and Sir Larry Lamb and all of these other sort of people who've been knighted for their political stupidity. And we've actually got to take that. We've got to take it away from the university professors, take it away from the media pundits, and get debates in pubs like this. So I think it's great. And incidentally, I think reading books is very important. I don't know why my opponent seems to have some objection to reading books. I think reading books is very important indeed. I read... Incidentally, he recommended that we read a book during his talk.
That's right. He sold out the back of the room. What, won't be the here.
What my opponent said is you won't get socialism by reading books. And then when asked to give an analysis of the miners' strike, he said, well, I can't go into it now, but read the book. But I would say reading books is important. We've got to do it, because an educated and intelligent and conscious working class is unstoppable. And I think we mustn't go in and think... tempted to accuse my opponent of it, for the kind of politics of condescension, whereby there are these people called the working class who wear flat caps and walk around sort of looking for leaders to follow. And it's not like that. Workers are actually very powerful people. Workers run society from top to bottom. Workers actually form the trade unions. It's workers who actually print the newspapers. It's workers who actually organise the technology of society. There's not a hospital that would open tomorrow if workers didn't go in. So let's not be patronising about socialism. If we're going to get it, it's going to be by appealing to the intelligence and the consciousness of members of the working class. It's not going to be by engaging in some kind of metaphor of spontaneous revolution or some sort of assumption that capitalism is going to collapse around our ears. And my opponent, well, it was... a stab at wit, I suppose, where he says, we're not a movement, we're a monument. Well, you know, perhaps we are. Perhaps we're a monument to socialist principles. And you've got to, as my opponent says, we're living in hard times. The socialist movement is very small indeed. Let me say one thing, and I say it in case anyone is in any doubt. We're a couple of petty, insignificant organisations. Fact of the matter is, the movement for socialism, what goes on in capitalism, will be affected hardly at all by what goes on in this debate in Guildford tonight. It won't be reported on the front page of The Sun, you know, SWP can't agree about whether there was socialism in Russia. I think it should be in The Sun, incidentally, because I think it's an absurd position for a party to be in. But nevertheless, let's not kid ourselves. What we've got to do is get into the argument out there. The argument, perhaps, the people who aren't in this room but are in this pub. The argument about people in the workplaces. The argument where there are factories closing down, where there are coal mines, where there are people in communities who feel threatened in any ways. And also, of course, not only people who are in employment. We've got to appeal in our ideas to the young workers who haven't got a job and haven't perhaps got any chance of getting one. We've got to appeal to old workers, and of course there's an increasing number of old workers, which ought to be a marvellous thing for a society, but it's actually a problem for capitalism. Capitalism's got a problem of having too many workers who are being kept alive. We could appeal to the experience of those workers and get them into our movement. We can appeal to people who aren't in the workplace, the women, the disabled people, the people who in one way or another very often are kept out of the workplace. This is how we make our movement. It is an historical movement, and I think that to dismiss it as being a monument is more than unfair. And of course, my opponent says we must go out and involve ourselves in the class struggle. What does he think we do every day? What does he think we do? Does he think we go out and we don't involve ourselves in the class struggle? Do you think because you're a member of the Socialist Party of Great Britain, when you get into work and the boss says, you're going to get less money, you're going to have to work more time, we sort of turn around and say, well, lucky for you, we're a member of the Socialist Party of Great Britain. We're not going to argue about this. You know, I'll tell you what, you want to have a talk to the... My opponent wants to have a talk to the people who employ me and find out whether I'm involved in the class struggle or not. We're involved in it, all right. So you've got no problem about that. And incidentally, no worker can avoid being involved in the class struggle. It's very hard not to. But the important point is this. that capitalism creates consciousness. And the most powerful weapon we've got, let's get rid of these old French revolutionary ideas and Russian revolutionary ideas, all of these capitalist revolutions of the past, that somehow revolutions are going to be carried through by bullets and armies. And I believe before the general strike, the Communist Party used to have weekend trips to Epping Forest where they used to train with guns, pretending, you know, they used to actually use tree branches pretending to be guns. And I don't know, I mean, let's forget this silly romanticism about insurrections and militias, and we're going to set up a workers' state. And, you know, my opponent's getting a bit sinister as well. You know, capital, you know, revolution's an authoritarian business. I mean, he's got to be kidding. Stability's an authoritarian business. Capitalism's an authoritarian business. Socialist liberation is the end of the authoritarian business. Because when you've got the power of a conscious working class, you get rid of that. And I put this to my opponent as well. You see, I put it in, arising out of what he says. Come the next election, he spoke about Harold Wilson. In 1974, Harold Wilson was elected as Prime Minister. I want to read you what it said in Socialist Worker, because it always amuses me. This is in Socialist Worker, just before the 1974 general election. It says, every socialist, every worker must spend all the days before polling day shouting two simple slogans, at work, in the home, and whenever anyone will listen. Defend unions, vote Labour. Now that's a direct quote from them. Now, incidentally, you can imagine these boars going around, you know, every single moment of the day, in the work, at home, in the pub, vote Labour, defend the unions, vote Labour, defend the unions. You know, and they go along to Grunwick, vote Labour, defend the unions. That's funny. How come the special patrol group, which the Labour government set up, which they told people to vote for, is out there smashing unions when they're trying to fight for recognition? Of course, it's nonsense. And the thing is that by arguing this idea of the lesser evil, that you vote for one administration of capitalism rather than another, what they're doing is they're pandering to this quite incorrect myth, one put forward by the Labour Party, that Thatcher is the real enemy. And that, of course, is a position that they end up putting. Not that capitalism is the enemy, but that Thatcher is the enemy. And I have to show you, I have to show you what they write. It amazed me. It amazed me. Look. This is the front page of Socialist Worker. Thatcher is the enemy. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. You know, this is pandering to the most infantile sort of political views. I mean, if Thatcher is the enemy, then, you know, why weren't the Socialist Workers' Party on the move before the IRA down at Brighton at the Grand Hotel? Blow her up. I mean, if she's the enemy, if that's the enemy, bang! Get rid of her. Of course she's not the enemy. Of course the Tories aren't the enemy.
Is she your friend?
Sorry?
I
tell you what she is. I tell you what she is. She's the tip on the iceberg of capitalism. And if Margaret Thatcher fell off tomorrow morning, your exploitation. Wait a second.
I thought you sort of agreed to this.
Come on. I mean, you know, give it a break. This isn't the Guildford Anarchist Group, as he said. You know, you got. Do you know what? A few more years of discipline and authoritarianism in the Socialist Workers' Party, and you won't be shouting out a meeting. But I'd say this. I mean, incidentally, I quite like people who shout out at meetings, because I normally shout out at meetings when I'm in the audience. But you've got to learn to be a Democrat. But I'd say this. This debate, and let me include on this, it's about which way forward for socialists. And the way forward for socialists, you know, I'm a simple person with a basically kind of logical mind. I try to think logically. And if you ask me which way forward for socialists, I assume you're talking about socialism. And then I have to say, what do you mean? What is it? What is this socialism that we're all going towards? Every time you mention socialism to my opponent, he sort of says, oh, you know, don't mention it. It's a bit embarrassing. You know, it's abstract propagandism. What we've got to do is get involved in the fight over the crumbs. The real struggle, you know, the immediate struggle. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the real. I'm not interested in this real struggle. You know, reality's a big turn-off for anyone who's a revolutionary. Revolutionaries are interested in transcending reality, not burying themselves in this daft reality of capitalism where you march up and down saying ban cruise missiles and introduce conventional weapons and all of this nonsense that workers have been persuaded to do for years and years. The issue isn't to defend exploitation, to defend one form of bomb instead of another. The thing is to get rid of the system. And therefore, I would say that you only get socialism when you've got socialists. You only get socialists by putting ideas to people. You know, the human animal, contrary to things I read about in strange newspapers that come through my letterbox, we're not psychic beings, you know. I think the SWP might think we are psychic beings, and we all go on a picket line and have a psychic experience, and we come out understanding the lessons of Marxism. We don't. We've got to talk. We've got to argue. We've got to put ideas. We've got to say to workers, this is what we mean by socialism. This is where we're going. Because I put it to you again, when I go back to London tonight, I go into Guildford Station, and I say to the bloke, I want to get to London. And if I say to the man, all right, you want to get to London? Where is it? What do you mean by London? That's the only way we're going to know which way the train's going to go. If I go along and say, well, look, I don't want to engage in these sort of abstract discussions, just put me on the train. He'll say, all right. You can go to Dorking, you know, I came here through Christ knows where, Cobham, Chopham, Effingham, places I've never heard of in my life. I don't want to go that way again. I want to go in the direct route because I want to know where I'm going. So of course, we've got to be a party of no compromise. And if we're a party of no compromise, I'm not proud to get my hands dirty. I'm not proud of getting my hands dirty. You get your hands dirty when you collaborate. You get your hands dirty when you engage in the dirty business of supporting...
Listen, look,
can I tell you something? I don't know whether you're some sort of romanticist or something. Class struggle's not a very dirty business. I should imagine. Look, let me tell you this. The class struggle, the average worker who comes home from work at the end of the day, the first thing he does, he has a wash. He puts on some decent clothing. It's actually only the bloody parlour room revolutionaries who dress up in the dirty clothes and walk around with their hands dirty and try and pretend to be tough people of the future people's militia. So cut it out. If we are really talking about socialism, what we're talking about is not something that's dirty. We're talking about peace. We're talking about cooperation. We're talking about mutual trust. We're talking about equality. We're talking about cooperating with other people. And I tell you what, I'll conclude with this if you have to act like an anarchist. If you want to fight for socialism, if you want, as your party claims it wants, a conscious minority people's militia to fight for socialism, you're welcome to start tomorrow morning. Start out with the police force of Guildford. Start out with a territorial army. Because if you want to talk about violence, and if you want to talk about smashing things, let me put it to you this way. At least as a so-called armchair socialist, I'm in the right place. As a bloody armchair soldier, you're in the wrong place.